All right, it's 5:30. We'll call to order the March meeting of the Planning Land Development Regulation Board. Would you please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Irene, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Smith.
Here.
Mrs. Lucas.
Here.
Mr. Albano.
Here.
Mr. Scully, Ms. Shank, and Mr. Lemon are excused. Ms. Nicholson.
Here.
Mr. Hilton.
Here.
Mr. Gabriel.
Here.
Ms. Bott.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have quorum.
Thank you. Our first item is the approval of the minutes meeting, or the meeting minutes from our February 16th meeting. Are there any corrections or questions? Is there a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Is there a second? All right, there's a motion and a second. Irene, would you call the roll?
Mr. Albano.
Here. Yes.
Ms. Nicholson.
Yes.
Mr. Gabriel.
Yes.
Mrs. Lucas.
Yes.
Mr. Hilton.
Yes.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Motion carries 6-0.
Thank you. Before we get started with our other items, I wanted to note Mr. Tyner is not here. He's on spring break with his family, but tonight is the last appearance before the board of Mr. Hoover with the Planning Department as he's retiring on Monday. So we want to wish him well. This will be your swan song here.
Okay.
All right. So on behalf of the board, thank you for everything you've done with the city, and we wish you well.
Okay.
Indeed.
It's been a pleasure.
All right. We'll move on to item number 2, which is the HSC Palm Coast US 1 LLC Dollar General Special Exception, application 5044. Mr. Hoover, are you leading that one?
Yeah, but let me just make a little note here. So this is a special exception in the COM2 district for small box stores. So back in August 2020, the city adopted an ordinance, and basically there was concern on Dollar General's going like in the middle, or not any dollar store, jumping in the middle of a neighborhood where it was sort of surrounded by houses. So they put a 500-foot rule in here. So this property, at this site, the Dollar General is within 500 feet of residentially zoned properties. But I think you'll see after you look at the wetlands and stuff between any future homes that it actually is would be outside and further away from 500 feet. So anyway, I think what it does, the special exception will work in this case. And we've seen other sites where people have talked about putting one of these and it's like surrounded by 100 homes within 500 feet. And it's like really not too appropriate in that case. So that in that case, we would, you know, not be supporting the petition. So Estelle Lenz, our planner, has the presentation on this.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. This is a special exception for a Dollar General store. And the request is to allow a small box discount store in the COM2 zoning district. And as Mr. Hoover explained, within 500 feet of residential property, a special exception is required. This property is located at 4530 US Highway 1, a little bit less than a half a mile north of Whiteview Parkway. This is a closer in aerial. The property, the site is approximately 3.52 acres. You can see that to the south, it's got industrial and commercial development on south on US 1 across US 1 on the west side. Again, you know, commercial industrial development. It's already developed and improved. To the east is the residential zone property. It's MFR2. And that's why we're here tonight, because it's adjacent to this property. The future land use map designation of the site is mixed use. It's surrounded by mixed use land use, and across US 1 is Flagler County industrial land use. The zoning of the site is general commercial, COM2. It's got COM2 to the north and city industrial to the south and Flagler County industrial to the west. And the multifamily residential zoning to the east. This is their conceptual site plan. It shows that most of the intensity of the site is developed on the western portion of the parcel. It is well buffered from the residential zone property on the east with a stormwater pond, some open space, and some wetlands. There's approximately 200 to 250 feet between the pond, the open space, and the wetlands to the boundary line of the residentially zoned property. This is actually a development that has been approved on the residentially zoned property. The proposed dollar store is right over here along US 1. This is a conceptual site plan for the Aviera, which is a multifamily project. It's a master site plan that was approved by this planning board and city council in 2020. They're currently working on their technical site plan. The site is approximately 91 acres, and they are proposing 256 units and three-story buildings there. And there's approximately 500 to 750 feet of wetland buffer between the Dollar General store property line and their proposed development. The review criteria from section 2.05.05 of the Land Development Code are: A, must not be in conflict or contrary to the public interest. The proposed small box discount store use is appropriately located along US 1, which has a mixture of commercial and industrial uses. The COM2 zoning district is intended to provide sufficient areas for general commercial and office uses to meet community-wide demand for retail, services, businesses, and employment opportunities. B, must be consistent with the provisions of the Land Development Code and Comprehensive Plan. The request is consistent with three objectives, policies, or goals of the Comprehensive Plan and meets the requirements of the Land Development Code as outlined in the staff report. C, must not impose a significant financial liability or hardship on the city. Should the applicant be granted a special exception, no significant financial liability or hardship will be created for the city, as all services are already available with sufficient capacity at this location. This development is located on US Highway 1, which is a state road and is regulated by the FDOT. The city traffic engineer will ensure that the impacts are reviewed and will be in compliance with FDOT requirements. D, must not create an unreasonable hazard or nuisance or constitute a threat to the general health, welfare, or safety of the city's inhabitants. The proposed use, a small box discount store, is a permitted use in the COM2 zoning district, except in cases where there are residentially zoned properties within 500 feet of the project's boundary. Since this site is adjacent to the MFR2 zone property, the applicant must apply for a special exception. The conceptual plan proposes a large stormwater pond and preserved wetland area. The adjacent property has, as I mentioned, 500 to 750 feet of wetland area bordering this parcel. The proposed site plan, combined with the adjacent wetland area, make the two land uses easily compatible. And E, the proposed development must comply with all other applicable local, state, and federal laws, statutes, ordinance, regulations, or codes. And any proposed development of the site must comply with the requirements of all applicable local, state, and federal laws, statutes, ordinances, regulations, and codes. And then special exception analysis based on the Land Development Code 2.07.03, this contains additional criteria that special exceptions must meet. And A, is consistent with the specific requirements for that particular use as set forth in the Land Development Code. And the conceptual plan that has been submitted with the special exception application demonstrates that the site will be developed under all applicable development standards of the Land Development Code, including specific standards for the general commercial COM2 zoning district. Compliance with all requirements of the Land Development Code will be confirmed during the technical site plan review process. B, meets the concurrency requirements of this Land Development Code. The site will need to meet all applicable concurrency provisions of the LDC as it goes through the permitting process. The trip generation report provided by the applicant shows the project will generate 55 p.m. peak hour trips, 38 a.m. peak hour trips, and 794 daily trips. US 1 is a state road regulated by FDOT. The proposed project will have a de minimis impact on US 1. C is compatible with surrounding neighborhoods and promotes the value of surrounding land structures or buildings. The site has been designed to be consistent with the existing uses in the area and is well buffered against a multifamily zone property to the east. Additional components of compatibility are further outlined in the staff report. Regarding public participation, the applicant met the 14-day requirement of sending certified mail to abutting properties for tonight's public hearing. As staff has not received any phone calls or emails objecting to this request. The next steps, the applicant has submitted a technical site plan. The proposed building area of the project is less than 40,000 square feet. Therefore, it is a tier one development level, which will receive administrative review and approval. And planning staff recommends that the Planning and Land Development Regulation Board find this request in compliance with the Land Development Code and Comprehensive Plan and approve application number 5044 to allow a special exception for a small box discount store within 500 feet of residential property. And the applicant's team is in attendance.
Does the applicant have a presentation?
There is no formal presentation. I can just bring the slide back up of the conceptual site.
All right, you're just here to answer questions? Okay.
Thank you very much for allowing us to be here this evening.
State your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Linda Biro. My address is 13933 Beetree Court, Hudson, Florida, 34669.
All right.
And I'm with Hicks Snedeker. We're the developer, and I don't have a presentation because Estelle did such a great job with hers.
Okay.
So I just want to thank you, and if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
All right. We'll see if the board has any questions. Back to the board. Are there any questions of the applicant or staff?
I just wondered if you have experience running these kinds of stores in other communities or this one?
Yes, we actually did the store on Matanzas. In fact, I worked with Mr. Hoover on getting that one approved. And we, Hicks Snedeker, our company, we developed for this tenant in six different states, in addition to some other national tenants. And we have all the relocation stores in the state of Florida and six counties in Florida. So we're in the process. I think personally I have 17 projects that I am overseeing and getting developed and hopefully approved.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the board?
Yeah, I think one of the, so something I remember when they had this moratorium a few years ago was talking about food deserts and creating spaces where people, especially low income or with limited mobility, depend on the prepackaged and processed foods in these kinds of stores because it's not convenient to get to a like a grocery store or something like that. So just wondering, are there any plans for like other grocery stores or markets, things like that, that would be nearby this area?
I am not aware of any plans. Bill, are you?
We have talked to someone at US 1 in Seminole Woods Boulevard about putting a grocery store in there on the north side, but it's they're in there with in negotiations with a shopping center developer to do that.
And that's probably a good 4 miles south of this.
Okay, location. Yeah, I wasn't sure what the distance was.
At least that. I'd
so
say.
Probably Aldi is the closest one to this store then.
Okay. I have a question for Estelle. This is the same site I think we approved a Roto-Rooter on maybe a year or two ago. That obviously didn't go forward, but.
I'm not familiar with that project, Bill, are you?
You remember that, Mr. Hoover?
I didn't work on that, but it was this site or was it to the one to the south?
I think it was this site. I think they moved down the road, but I think we did approve, maybe it was 2 years ago, we approved a Roto-Rooter. So I guess the point I'm making is it's clearly a commercial area and across the street from industrial. It's not really in the middle of residential, even though there is a multifamily development approved behind it, but as you said, it's well buffered.
And if I could actually address, this is a market store, so it's going to be a 12,480 square foot, and it will have fresh produce and have more fresh items and selection, which is one of the reasons why we chose to put that size store at this site, as there is no local grocery, so it will have that offering to the people around the area.
What was the size of the one you did on Matanzas?
10,640.
Okay, so it's about 20% bigger.
Yes,
okay.
And that's pretty much focused on fresh offerings.
Okay, any other questions from the board?
Glad to hear that.
All right, this is a public hearing. Anyone from the public that wishes to address the board on this matter, come forward. You have 3 minutes. So anyone that wants to address the board, please come forward. All right, seeing none, we will close the public hearing. Come back to the board. Are there any further questions? Okay, now I get to read my statement. The chair will now entertain a motion. Will staff please put up the slide with the staff recommendation? Thank you, you've got it. Any member can move to approve or approve with conditions or second the motion, even if the member intends to vote against the motion. The motion is phrased a motion to approve simply to get the board to vote yes or no. So is there a motion from the board?
I'll make a motion that we approve application number 5044 to allow a special exemption for small box discount store within 500 feet of this residential property.
All right, there's a motion to approve. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All right, there's a motion and a second. Irene, would you call the roll?
Mr. Albano?
Yes.
Ms. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Gabriel?
Yes.
Mrs. Lucas?
Yes.
Mr. Hilton?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
The motion carries 6-0.
Thank you. We'll move on to item three. Before we start item three, I just want to point something out. A previous meeting on a project at Palm Coast Park, there was some concern about the fact that I work for the CDD there, which I do. But this development and this developer has not approached the CDD about maintaining anything to date. So I talked with Katie, and I think I'm on firm ground to go ahead and vote yes or no. So with that said, we'll move on to the staff presentation of item number three.
This next item is another very large subdivision on the west side of US 1, south of Matanzas and north of Palm Coast Parkway. And it's basically a single family project, and I think it fits in pretty well with the other stuff within the Palm Coast Park DRI and MPD, and Estelle has the presentation on that.
Good evening again, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. This is for Somerset at Palm Coast Park. It's a subdivision master plan. Somerset at Palm Coast Park is part of the Palm Coast Park DRI and MPD. It's on the west side of US 1, approximately 2.2 miles north of Palm Coast Parkway. The project site is approximately 161.57 acres, and they are proposing 418 single-family residential lots. The future land use map designation of the site is DRI mixed use and conservation. It's mostly the DRI. Oops, it's not coming over. DRI mixed use, oops, I'm sorry. It's mostly DRI mixed use. It has some conservation on it. To the north, the east, and the south is DRI mixed use and conservation, and to the west of the project is some industrial property. This is not cooperating. There we go. All right. This is the zoning map. The site falls within the Palm Coast Park master plan development. To the north, east, and south of the site is all MPD zoning. The west of the site is industrial 2 zoning. And this is the Palm Coast Park MPD uses map. This site is located on track 15. It's designated as flex uses. All these pink tracks are flex uses, and that consists of or allows commercial, office, industrial, and residential high density. The MPD requires that single family development follow residential low density dimensional standards as outlined in the MPD agreement, which requires that the lots be a minimum of 40 feet wide and have a minimum area of 4,000 square feet. The maximum density is 6 units per acre. This is their conceptual site plan. Again, they're proposing 418 lots. It's going to be a mixture of 40 and 50 foot lots. The minimum size they're proposing is 4,800 square feet. The density is 2.59 units per acre. They're proposing the project to be developed in three stages. They will have two full access points onto US 1. The main access will be in the center of the project, and the secondary access will be on the northern, of course, north is to the left on this slide, on the northern portion of the site, actually through city property. So they're proposing easement agreements, which will be one of the conditions of approval. And this is a color rendition of their, or rendering of their, subdivision master plan. They're proposing an amenity center in the middle. US 1 Linear Park runs along the west side of US 1, and this project proposes a couple of access points to it. There will be pedestrian connectivity throughout the site and multiple places out to the Linear Park on US 1. This is their proposed lot layout. As mentioned, they're going to have a mixture of 40 and 50 foot lots. The lots in light blue will be the 50 foot lots, and the tan lots will be the 40 foot lots. That's what they're proposing. The five review criteria from section 2.05.05 of the Land Development Code are: A, must not be in conflict with the public interest, and the proposed development is not in conflict with or contrary to the public interest, as the project will meet all applicable development standards within the Unified Land Development Code, the Palm Coast Park DRI, and the Palm Coast Park MPD. B, it must be consistent with the comprehensive plan and the Land Development Code. The request is consistent with six goals, policies, or objectives of the comprehensive plan, as well as the requirements of the DRI, the MPD, and the Land Development Code. Must not impose significant liability or hardship on the city. The public infrastructure needed to support the project is already in place, adjacent to the site, and is adequate to serve the project. The city's traffic engineer is working with the applicant and FDOT regarding the required turn lanes at both access points. The project's traffic impact study shows the 418-unit single-family project will generate 275 AM peak hour trips, 383 PM peak hour trips, and 3,778 weekday daily trips. The traffic impact study advises that US 1 will continue to operate at an acceptable level of service, even with the build-out of this project and other projects in the area. D, must not create an unreasonable hazard or nuisance. The proposed development poses no unreasonable hazard, nuisance, nor does it constitute a threat to the general health, welfare, or safety of the city's inhabitants. All improvements will be newly constructed and/or developed in compliance with all applicable development standards. E, must comply with all applicable government standards. The applicant has submitted or shall submit plans and permit applications as required to the various agencies having jurisdiction and will meet all requirements of applicable local, state, and federal laws, statutes, ordinances, regulations, and codes. And the next steps are is that they will submit a preliminary plat, which will receive administrative review. Following that would be the final plat, and that requires City Council approval. And once that's approved, they can apply for building permits. Planning staff recommends that the Planning and Land Development Regulation Board determine this project is consistent with the city's comprehensive plan, the Land Development Code, and the Palm Coast Park DRI and MPD, and approve the subdivision master plan for Somerset at Palm Coast Park, application number 4988, subject to the following conditions. One, during the preliminary plat, the applicant shall enter into agreements with the city in a form acceptable to the city to allow cross access and construction of a road with associated stormwater facilities on city property. And two, during the preliminary plat, the applicant shall update the traffic impact analysis and reach agreement with the city traffic engineer and FDOT on the needed improvements, including turn lanes, that will be required to be provided by the applicant. And the representatives are in attendance.
All right, does the applicant have a presentation?
They do not have a formal presentation.
If you would, state your name and address for the record.
My name is Rudd Jones with Matthews Design Group. My address is 283 East End Road, San Mateo, Florida.
Thank you. You're just here to answer questions?
Just here to answer questions if you have any.
Okay, we'll come back to the board. Does the board have any questions of the applicant or staff?
I have one. What was the rationale with the product mix between 40-foot and 50-foot lots? Starting to get a little narrow here on some of these projects. And
that's what was requested by the developer for product that they wanted to build.
Okay.
Is there, I have a kind of a associated question is, why do you mix them in together? Is that what they think is best? Or, I mean, sometimes you see like one size product by itself and the other size product for the rest of the project, but you've got them kind of interspersed there.
I don't know the marketing analysis that drives that decision, but it's evidently a product and mix that has worked for them in the past.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yes. Are there any renderings or any elevations of what this product is going to look like?
I don't have those yet, sir.
Do we have any idea what the square footage is going to be on these houses, minimum?
I don't know the answer to that, sir.
With regard to the traffic study, is there been consideration for what will happen to the feeder roads onto US 1 where the population of the residents are going to and from after they get off US 1?
The analysis, the traffic analysis takes all of that into consideration.
So it takes in Palm Coast Parkway and
it goes to those intersections, yes, ma'am.
But to the roads themselves, not just US 1. But
to the
where
roads
people
and movements on those other roads, yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry?
To those roads and movements onto and off of those roads, yes, ma'am.
Generally, a traffic study addresses the entire area that's affected. I think there's a certain percentage of traffic, I think. They have to study any road that is affected more than that percentage. So generally, traffic studies are pretty large in scope, not just right where the project is. They're expanded out. To a
well,
pretty broad
the findings
area.
Here only address US 1, which was why I mentioned that in the.
No, I think it'll do. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but like Matanzas, Belterre, US 1, Palm Coast Parkway, it'll reach out to a pretty broad area.
I have a question for Mr. Hoover or Ms. Lenz. Does this sit under a master MPD where they're able to add these 40 and 50 foot lots? Because it was my understanding that if we go to an MPD, there's got to be something unique about it in order to stay away from normal SFR 1. So,
no, good. That's a good question. So this is part of the, I forget how many acres this DRI is, but I think it's like 5,000-6,000 acres. And so it's on the old side. The public benefit of the MPD, so a DRI is above and beyond the MPD, which sort of sets below it. The when you come in for a DRI, so they spent a lot of funds, the developers, so they put the, for instance, the multi-youth pass along US 1 in. They've also spent, I believe it's in the millions of dollars for improvements on Matanzas going up to the interstate there and towards the interchange. So they're doing a school site. I think that's up around number 15 there, east of 9 on the little brown area, or it's 7A. But anyway, so. They've donated lands for school sites, recreation, and things like that. So that's the advantages they get. The city utilities has looked at stuff, and 40 foot is sort of the minimum, according to Chris Johnson, that has reviewed this for many years. That's at the minimum area where all the stuff fits in, because you got a driveway, you got a water and sewer hookup, and then you got cable for each lot, and you get to the end of the cul-de-sac, you can have some issues. So the engineer would take that into account, but so staff feels comfortable at 40. So if somebody comes in with 30 or 35 foot lots, then we'll have to really discuss that seriously with the engineering department before we could recommend approval.
And I know we're not at this yet, but do we, with these 40 and 50 foot lots, do we have any kind of setbacks that we know as of yet?
Yeah, so those are in the staff report on page 3. So we have side yard setbacks of 5 feet, 20 on the front and 10 on the rear.
We're looking at 30 foot wide and 40 foot wide homes.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any other questions from the board?
Back to your question, it extends to Matanzas Wood Parkway down to Palm Coast Parkway, the movements of those intersections.
So it's only evaluating US 1, it's not evaluating those roads as well?
And the movements off of those roads is part of the analysis.
Any other questions from the board? All right. This is a public hearing. Any member of the public wishes to address the board on this matter, come forward. You have 3 minutes to address the board. Seeing no one approach the board, we'll close the public hearing. Come back to the board. Are there any other questions of the applicant or staff?
I would like to question your question about the size of the lot. What was your concern?
My concern is that we're approving a lot of these MPDs over the last year, and it seems like the lots are getting narrower and narrower. And I think what's happening is that even though the lots are narrow, it isn't an MPD, and they're going to have amenities. So, of course, these houses are going to cost more. So being here for a long period of time, I'm starting to notice a lot more smaller houses being placed on our 80-foot lots inside Palm Coast, because these MPDs are driving out the lower cost homes. So we're starting to see a lot of small nondescript houses in Palm Coast because there is a lack of other opportunities to put smaller homes. So
thank you.
Plus architecturally can't do much with a 30 foot wide house.
Any further questions? All right, Estelle, would you put the staff recommendation back up? All right, the chair will now entertain a motion. Any member can move to approve or approve with conditions or second the motion, even if the member intends to vote against the motion. The motion is phrased a motion to approve simply to get the board to the yes or no vote. So is there a motion from the board?
Well, we've got to so make a motion to recommend that we determine this project is consistent with the city's comprehensive plan, the land development code, and the Palm Coast Park DRI/MPD, and approve the subdivision master plan application number 4988 with the following conditions. During the preliminary plat, the applicant shall enter into agreements with the city in a form acceptable to the city to allow cross access and construction of a road with associated stormwater facilities, and that during the preliminary plat, the applicant shall update the traffic impact analysis and reach an agreement with the city traffic engineer and FDOT.
All right, there's a motion to approve. Is there a second?
I'll make a second.
All right, there's a motion and a second. Irene, would you call the roll?
Mr. Albano.
Yes.
Ms. Nicholson.
Yes. But I want to voice that I'm disappointed in the presentation, the proposal, that I don't really feel like we had enough information to try and make this decision. It has a feeling that it's just not necessarily a good product for our community. But it falls within the guidelines of what we as councilmen, planning commission folks have to approve.
I concur.
Thank you.
Mr. Gabriel.
Yes.
Mrs. Lucas.
No.
No. Mr. Hilton.
Yes.
Mr. Smith.
Yes, I concur with the thought that there could have been a little better presentation.
Okay, the motion carries 5-1.
Thank you. That's the end of our agenda. Is there any, are there any staff issues? Other than Mr. Hoover's can't wait to hit the road.
I'll just make the recommendation to staff that we really look at these narrow lots. I understand, you know, our hands are tied on this one because it does fall within the guidelines and we can't vote with our heart, but at some point we got to start looking at some better products.
You know, that's, you know, going to the city council yesterday, actually, there's a lot of people out there concerned about growth and maybe that it's out of control and some of the impacts like traffic. They didn't get into schools for some reason, but obviously schools is a big concern there too. I think this MPD was amended a couple years ago for narrower lots, and that's really the time that because once the zoning is approved and if it meets the standards, staff is sort of forced to recommend approval on that. And for instance, like master site plans going to the city council for like multifamily apartments, we took some pretty good hits up there. But the thing was, what on a master site plan, if you're meeting that, what's the grounds for us to recommend denial of that? So I hear what everyone's saying, that there's some concerns, and the developer's not required to submit single family elevations for a subdivision master plan. So but if it's meeting the land development code, it's meeting the MPD and the DRI, it makes things a little bit difficult. So if you see future rezonings come in and you have concerns, that's really the opportunity, because after that, if it gets rezoned to, let's say, MFR2, and somebody turns a site plan in that meets MFR2 standards, you know, city staff's going to be forced to really recommend approval to that unless we can find something in the criteria where we'd say, hey, this isn't really a good project. We can't recommend approval.
Thanks for the clarification.
Thank you. Any other comments from the board?
I mean, just one thing. I just to let you know, applied for the empty seat on the city council. So if that decision will be made.
You weren't having enough fun?
So, yeah, don't know what will happen there, but obviously if I get appointed there, then I'd have to resign. Yeah.
Well, good luck to you.
Good luck with that.
Any other questions from the board? All right. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion, and a motion for Bill Hoover to enjoy his retirement, especially when I heard he's headed out to Crater Lake. I'm super jealous. My parents spent a lot of time out there when they retired. So.
Okay, thank you.
Have fun.
Second?
A second.
All right, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.